Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Charles Leclerc wins the Belgian GP, which one could argue became irrelevant after Saturday's Formula 2 race. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fergal. Hello everyone to episode 157 of the Fastest Lap Podcast. After Australia and the passing of Charlie Whiting, I hoped we wouldn't have to open another episode under tragic circumstances anytime soon. Sadly, we have to. In Saturday's F2 feature race, Antoine Hubert passed away after a horrific crash in Radio. And yeah, I don't know about you, Fergal, but when I see crashes live, I immediately have some kind of gut feeling. Even with heavy crashes like Ericsson and Monza last year, for example, I was shocked, don't get me wrong, but I knew cars, F1 cars especially, can withstand such crashes. But that feeling, or the feeling I had in the Spa F2 crash, honestly, I never experienced that before. And I was really just shocked, mouth open, goosebumps, and I hadn't even seen the incident in detail in that moment. And it was just a moment where you knew something bad had happened. And even though I'm usually a pretty optimistic and happy person, after Saturday, the whole weekend had a really sad feeling to it. And yeah, how did you live through Saturday and Sunday, Fergal? I guess it must have been even harder for you as you published articles about Hubert's career and the incident itself.
Since I've begun writing about, I think, well over 3 years ago now, it was without a doubt the toughest weekend I've ever experienced. Especially that Saturday night and the Sunday morning, it was extremely tough. Antoine Hubert, we sadly, really sadly lost him in that horrible, horrible crash. I think that was, from what I've heard and from other people, and for me as well, what you said about the gut feeling, I had the same thing. For some reason, I just knew that there was something, that it wasn't going to be as simple as they were going to go to the medical center and get checked out. I knew it was something a lot deeper than that. And that waiting period we waited for news was really, really tough. And then when the news came through from the FIA, the saddest I'd say I've ever been in my experience of watching motorsport ever, because it was just so shocking, so out of the blue, and just really, really upsetting. And it was just horrible. And Hubert, I look at the Formula 2 grid this year, and I mean, there's, I would say, three, maybe four drivers out of the whole grid that I think could have, some of the other ones still could, reach Formula 1. And Hubert was one of those names that I genuinely believed had a shot of reaching Formula 1 in the coming years.
I think you even mentioned him in one of our previous episodes when we talked about the Renault Junior drivers.
Yeah, we did. So it's a massive, massive shame. Just such a lost talent from Hubert. That really put a whole somber feeling over the rest of the weekend. It was very, very difficult to get excited for the Formula One race. Really, really tough. But the drivers themselves didn't want to race. They admitted that, even some of them before the race admitted it, that they didn't want to race at all. Daniel Ricciardo even said after the race that he thought about pulling out of the race altogether on Saturday night.
Yeah, and I can only imagine how strange, weird it must have been for drivers to basically go past radio and actually the scene of the accident where they knew what had happened a day before.
Yeah, it's I mean, Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton said it after. You probably saw maybe in the social media post that he put out about how fans and people in general don't appreciate enough the danger that the drivers are in. And I agree with him, because you say that motorsport is dangerous and everything, but you can't be prepared for something like this, the shock and the sadness that comes with all of this. And even he said himself, I mean, his crash on during FP3, there was fans cheering when he crashed, and it happens all the time. It happens all the time when a driver crashes, that everyone cheers. And honestly, I find it disgusting, that kind of behavior, whether it's a huge shunt into the barrier, or you know, a minor spin and a tap where the driver, you know, barely feels anything at all. There's, you know, taking the driver out of the equation altogether, there's the amount of people working on the car, you know, cheering that it's gone wrong for them. It's horrible behavior. And but I feel like most things,
people are just so used to seeing driver getting out of the car without any injury.
Yeah, but I think it's some aspect that I just think of the sport that is very, very hard to dampen down, and because you can't, there's no way to regulate that. And I mean, you can't really, it's not, you know, illegal or anything to do that. It's just, you know, being extremely unfair. But I mean, in saying that, there was absolutely nobody with those kind of thoughts when the crash in the F2 race happened. I'm sure of it, because that was just a horrific accident, one of, if not the, well, in Formula 2 certainly the worst crash I've ever seen, and in my time of watching motorsport, one of the biggest I've ever seen. And yeah, that day, that Saturday evening, was I just felt empty, to be honest, inside after. It was just so tough to know that, you know, one minute he was there racing, doing what he loved, and the next he was gone. All my thoughts are with his family and friends. And you know, he did have a lot of friends in the motorsport paddock, including the F1 paddock. I know that Pierre Gasly especially was very close to him, as was Charles Leclerc. I mean, he grew up with Pierre, pretty much. They carded together, they went to school together, they knew each other very, very well. So for that to happen so unexpectedly like that, so suddenly, it's just extremely sad.
Yeah, and as you said, I basically had the same feeling, empty feeling on Saturday evening, but also kind of disbelief, you know. I mean, I only read the news on Twitter, and there was just that message from the FIA coming through, and I was like, what the hell? I mean, this can't be true. But yeah, then Sunday morning itself, again, I woke up and my first thought was about Hooper, and I was still like, that's unbelievable. But yeah, as you said, many fans and friends in Formula One, as you said, and it must have been really hard, especially for Gasly, as you said, who shared pictures from their childhood today on social media. I saw them. Really, really moving. But also one man driver we shouldn't forget about is, of course, Correa, who currently is still in hospital. I think his condition is stable, but still he might have some injuries. I'm not totally sure about, but I think he has some leg fractures or something. So totally not fine, but at least stable. And yeah, I mean, how hard must I mean, not only does he have this physical injury, but I just would guess that even the psychological factor of him having the accident with Hubert, I would guess that will follow him throughout his whole life.
Yeah, that's that is a very difficult aspect of it. I mean, I don't think anybody blames him at all. I mean, you can't blame anybody for something like that. It was just a series of circumstances that led to such an unfortunate incident. There's no one to blame in that. I mean, accidents happen all the time in motor racing, and unfortunately, this time it was a big one with a big consequence. But I really do hope that Juan Manuel Correa gets all the support, both physically and mentally, that he needs, because he's a good guy. I mean, he has two podiums to his name, shared a podium with Hubert earlier this year at the French sprint race, where Hubert actually won. So yeah, I'm really hoping he makes a strong recovery. I think he still is in Belgium at the moment, and he will be transferred to back to the US when he gets the clear from the doctors and all the medical team there. But I think I speak for everybody when I say that we wish him a really speedy recovery and a really healthy recovery, as I said, both physically and mentally.
Yep, absolutely. So there's absolutely no way to get a perfect transition to Formula One. As you said, there was just no way I was able to fully enjoy the race or something. It was, it was good. There was a Formula One race on, but you just had it in your mind. And I also think it would have been inappropriate to really, I don't know, be really excited and stuff. And so, but of course, we had our first win for Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari after a tough race. After qualifying, it looked like Ferrari had the upper hand with big gap actually to Mercedes, but in race pace, Mercedes was really. It seems like at least in terms of tire wear, they seemed a lot better than Ferrari. So you could even argue that Sebastian Vettel won Leclerc the race.
Yeah, it certainly possibly seemed like that, because he did of course hold Hamilton back for a few laps, which probably proved vital, because at the end of the race, Hamilton was able to close in on Leclerc, and we got another exciting end to a Grand Prix. I mean, it was a Ferrari, I think, were probably favourites heading into the weekend, but I mean, even come qualifying, I definitely did not expect the gap to Mercedes to be that big. I mean, I think it was like nearly 0.8 seconds between Leclerc and Hamilton, which is, and it was nearly 0.8 as well between Leclerc and Vettel, let's not forget. But I really didn't expect the gap to be that big, which will, I think, encourage Ferrari heading to Monza this weekend, where straight line speed is probably even more vital there. But yeah, I mean, it was an interesting race. Ferrari clearly struggled a lot more on the medium compound compared to Mercedes, because in the first half of the race, they seemed to be pretty on top of it. For the most part, certainly compared to what they were like on the medium tire. But Leclerc, I mean, he held on, got his first win that he absolutely deserved, after some of the stuff that's happened this year, when he's been so close to winning. So yeah, definitely a really well-deserved win for Leclerc, and I think Ferrari probably relieved, to say the least, that they have a win under their belt. It's been quite a while. It's hard to think that the last time before this race where they won was when Kimi Raikkonen won for them back in the US, which is strange. But I was happy for them, happy that they won a race, and hopefully they can build on from here. But I mean, after Italy, I do think they'll have a bit of a tough run. But it was good, good work for Ferrari. And I liked as well when they gave the team orders to let Leclerc through. I mean, normally I don't like team orders for the lead, but it was just, he would have gotten them anyway. And I mean, I don't think Ferrari would have been able to you know, look themselves in the mirror if they had let them race and then they crash out and give the win to Mercedes. So I think that was the right call as well at that stage in the race.
Yep, absolutely. And another driver we all had an eye on was Alexander Albon, who took an engine penalty, which for the first race with a new team wasn't that bad of a decision, I thought, because, well, of course, he needs to at first learn about the car, about how the car handles the tires, so you would naturally expect your first race not to be the best, so why not get the engine or use some new engine parts to have fresher ones available in the in later races. So I thought that was quite clever, and it also enabled Albon to show his overtaking skills by, yeah, basically coming from P, oh god, I don't even know where he started after so many different penalties.
16, 17? Or 17, yeah, might have been 17. Yeah,
I think it was 17 or something, to P5. And, well, in the first stint, it didn't look too impressive, I have to say. But maybe, I think he said the car didn't switch the medium tires on as well as he was just stuck in a DRS train where everyone in front had DRS and he just wasn't able to pass them on the straights. But yeah, the second stint on the soft tires, well, that was quite good, I thought. There were some really good overtakes in there. And of course, he was a little bit lucky with the DNF of Norris and I think who else? Yeah, I think it was just Norris at the end who gifted him P5.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. I mean, that first half was a bit, not that great. He said himself that he struggled quite a bit. True, that first stint with the medium compound, but once he switched to the soft, he was flying and pulled off some great moves on, especially the one on Ricciardo. I mean, I know Ricciardo was really struggling at that stage because he pitted on lap one, but still, that was great race intuition to be able to cut back the way he did and swoop around the outside.
I was actually amazed that that worked out. I thought, well, yeah, he has got more grip with the new tires, but I thought, no, that's not possible to have so much more traction to get alongside for the next corner. But yeah. I don't know, somehow he made it. So I don't know, Ricciardo must have had like zero grip or something.
Yeah, and then that move on Perez on the last lap on the grass, that was pretty impressive. And then there was one overtake as well that he did. Maybe you've seen replays where he's tearing off one of his visor strips as he's flying down the straight, overtaking someone at whatever it is, 200-300 kilometers or so per hour. So overall, a great debut. I thought it was over at the start because when I saw that Red Bull on the barriers at Eau Rouge, at first I actually thought it was Albon, and I was like, no.
Yeah, me too, because I wasn't used to Verstappen's new helmet.
Yeah, the helmet. Because Gasly, or like I say, Albon does run a bit of a orangey tint to his helmet, so I was like, no, please. But yeah, that was Verstappen. And yeah, a shame for Verstappen. That's his first DNF since Hungary last year, and I looked up as well. I think it's his first DNF as a result of a crash since his crash with Daniel Ricciardo last year. So at Baku. So a good run of form coming to an end for Verstappen. Do you place any particular blame on that corner one incident between him and Raikkonen, or do you think it was just a racing incident?
It was actually very similar to the incident we had, I think it was last? No, it was 2017? I'm not quite sure where Vettel and Raikkonen and Verstappen... Oh god, was it 16?
Yeah.
How time flies, oh god. Yeah, but I thought it was a bit similar. In my opinion, it was a racing incident. But of course, you could argue Verstappen was on the inside, Kimi just closing the door. Of course, Kimi not having much more room on the outside. I mean, for me, it's just a racing incident. Of course, Kimi Räikkönen wasn't happy. I guess if you heard the uncensored team radio, that was actually quite funny. But racing incident in my view. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you could say for Räikkönen that you know, maybe he should have expected someone to be there, and then you can say for Verstappen, well, maybe he shouldn't have lunged it that tight to the corner. But yeah, I think overall it was just a racing incident. It was just once again two people fighting over the same piece of tarmac. That so often happens on lap one, and yeah, Verstappen came out worse from it. So yeah, unfortunate for him, but I mean, it's very difficult to blame a single driver for that, and I think a racing incident is pretty fair.
Absolutely. So let's move on to our race rating and driver of the weekend. And race rating, to be honest, it's so difficult for me. I would actually love to exclude it or something, because it's just under so different circumstances. But if I had to rate it, I don't know, it's so difficult, because as we talked about it, you weren't really able to enjoy it that much. So if I had to give it a number, I would probably go for a 6, better than average. I don't know, maybe a 7, I don't know. Six, let's go with 6.5.
I mean, I feel the same. It's very difficult because these race ratings we give are, you know, based on how we enjoyed the race, but it was difficult, I mean, not to enjoy the race itself, but to enjoy the entire weekend after what had happened. And even Monza will be tough, because Formula 2 is racing, of course, at Monza once again. You know, it's going to be very tough to enjoy that, I think. But it was very difficult to enjoy the weekend. But the race itself, I mean, as difficult as it is, just to place that to the side in terms of the race and the action that went on, I mean, I thought it was a fairly exciting race. Lots of good battles. I mean, the midfield was locked together for a long time, really closely, and we got some great battles. But yeah, it is difficult to say that I enjoyed it after what had happened on Saturday. But I mean, if we are giving the rating, then I thought about it previously, and I said I would give it a 7 out of 10, because yeah, we did have some good midfield battles, and then towards the end, of course, that Hamilton chasing down Leclerc. So as a race itself, it was a good race, but it was just impossible to enjoy because of Huber's situation. And I think that feeling of emptiness, certainly for me, won't disappear for quite some time, I'm expecting, because I really loved watching him on the track. And it's going to take, I mean, I've been watching him for a few years now. I remember watching him back when he did his season in European F3, and it's going to take a bit of time for me to get used to not seeing him race anymore. So but yeah, my race rating would be a 7 out of 10, because the racing itself was quite good.
Yeah, I think I also go with a 7. I just checked my previous ratings, and yeah, if you just go with the race, as you said, I think it wasn't too bad. So 7 is acceptable, and I'll go with that. In terms of driver of the weekend, I think we had some different contenders for that, and we had some good drives throughout the whole weekend. Who would you put into that category? Who are your contenders for the driver of the weekend?
Yeah, lots of good drives. Obviously, the obvious one, Charles Leclerc, pole position, you know, in a dominant fashion. Probably, one of the more dominant pole positions that I can remember in recent years, to be honest. Never mind this season. So, and then taking his first win Albon as well, you know, his first weekend in the Red Bull, didn't partake in qualifying but did a good job in the race. Kvyat as well, didn't really do much in qualifying because he had a big penalty, but in the race coming back to P7, you know, that was a great recovery drive from Kvyat. Yeah, Lando Norris too, didn't make it into Q3 but was running so well in that race. I mean, to retire on the last lap when running P5, I mean, that is just heartbreaking. I can't imagine how that would feel for him on the verge of his best ever result, and then only to have a problem literally, what, like just over seven kilometers before the end of the race. Really tough. But I'm going to go with, really the boring and obvious choice for my driver of the weekend, which is Charles Leclerc, who picked up his first win of the season, which was very much deserved, and in a really, really dominant qualifying, and then coming out on top in a really, really tough race where he had to cope with the loss of his good friend Antoine, and also fend off Lewis Hamilton on those last few laps. He was beyond a shadow of a doubt the quicker Ferrari this weekend, throughout the whole weekend. So really, really great drive from Leclerc, and hearing the Monaco anthem on the podium for the very first time.
Oh yeah.
Followed by the Italian one, I'm sure we'll be hearing that combination for many years to come.
I really liked both. I like the Monaco anthem really a lot. I thought it had a great melody to it, and also in combination with the Italian one. So yeah, I don't have anything against hearing that combination again.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, for me, Leclerc, driver of the weekend.
Yeah, interesting. I had three drivers in my mind while thinking about driver of the weekend. And first one, or well, I don't put them in any order, but one driver I thought about was Lando Norris, as you said. He said he didn't he didn't make it to Q3, but then again, we don't really know what the general pace of the McLaren would have been. And Carlos Sainz, I think he was out qualified. He was already eliminated in Q1. So yeah, it could be that the McLaren wasn't really that competitive at all. So to qualify it in P11 was not too bad, I thought. And he had really a great start. I mean, coming from P11 to P. Or did he even start P11? I don't know. There were so many penalties, of course, on Sunday. But yeah, he basically found a good way around turn one last source, and yeah, found himself in P5 after that. And yeah, he managed to hold on to that place, didn't make any mistakes, had some good race pace. Of course, he had a little bit of a lonely race. I think he even said in an interview afterwards, yeah, he was watching the TV screens because nothing else was happening around him. So for me, that's one contender. Also, one contender that not everyone might think of is Lewis Hamilton, because I was just again so impressed by that last stint of him on the medium tires. Of course, we knew that Mercedes, that they do have a great race pace and they are kind on their tires. But again, I was just so impressed again by his determination, by his will to get that victory. I mean, we all know the championship is basically over, and he could have just sat there in P2 knowing, well, I'm ahead of Bottas, I'm ahead of Vettel, let's just bring that home. But no, he fought, he tried to get that victory, and was very close, as I said, was very close to Charles Leclerc on the last lap. One lap more, who knows what would have happened with worn tires, accelerating out of turn one, who knows, maybe even with a little bit less top speed, Lewis Hamilton in the Mercedes would have been able to overtake him. So yeah, generally I thought it was a really good race again. from him. Even after his crash he had in FP3, he managed to out-qualify his teammates, so good job for him. But as you said, I think there's only one way, the boring way, to award the Driver of the Weekend award, and that is for Charles Leclerc. Out-qualified Sebastian Vettel by a huge margin. Of course, Vettel said he had some mistakes in the lap, but still, 7/10 against your teammate, 7/10 against the Mercedes. I mean, that's not only by luck or by car performance. I think he really showed his skill with that lap, and also managing. Of course, he was on a bit of a different strategy compared to Sebastian Vettel, but still, I had the feeling he managed the tires quite well in the race, didn't ask too much of those tires in the first couple of laps after he pitted. So yeah, and to withstand the pressure at the end, of course, with Lewis Hamilton closing him down every lap, yeah, I think it was really a great drive by him.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, probably, I'd be willing to bet a lot on it that it won't be the last time we see him on the top step of the podium, because he's shown this year that when he really gets into the rhythm and he's really in the right positions, he's very, very difficult to beat. And he's only in his second year in F1, remember. So I'm sure there's plenty more to come from Leclerc.
Absolutely. So even though the Belgian GP was overshadowed by the F2 accident, I hope you were able to enjoy the rest of the weekend and our episode at least a little bit. And we will be back next week, hoping to bring you a more positive episode, of course, after the Italian GP. But until then, thank you for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye.